pretty good. How are you, Mr. Bergen?
Oh, I'm got lots of trouble. I want to see what
we,
you...
We all have those.
What do you think about this Vietnam thing? What I'd like to hear you talk a little bit.
Frankly, Mr. Bergen, if you were to tell me that I was authorized to settle it as I saw fit, I would respectfully decline to undertake it. It's the damn worst mess I ever saw, and I don't like to brag. I never have been right many times in my life, but I knew we were going to get in this sort of mess when we went in there, and I don't see how we're going to ever get out without fighting a major war with the Chinese and all of them down there in those rice paddies and jungles. I just don't see it. I just don't know what to do.
Well, that's the way I've been feeling for
it's
6 months.
Our position is deteriorating, and it looks like the more we try to do for them, the less they're willing to do for themselves. It's just a sad situation. There's no sense of responsibility there on the part of any of their leaders, apparently. It's all just through generations or even centuries, they have... just thought about the individual and glorifying the individual. That's the only utilization of power, just to glorify the individual, not to save the state or to help other people. And they just can't shed themselves of that complex. It's a hell of a situation. It's a mess, and it's going to get worse. And I don't know what to do if. I don't think the American people were quite ready for us to send our troops in there to do the fighting. And if it came down to an option of just sending Americans in there to do the fighting, which will, of course, eventuate into a ground war and a conventional war with China, and we'd do them a favor every time we killed a coolie, whereas when one of our people got killed, it'd be a loss to us. If it got down to that, or just pulling out, I'd get out. But then I don't know. There's undoubtedly some middle ground somewhere. If I was going to get out, I'd get the same crowd that got rid of old Deem to get rid of these people and get some fella in there that said he wished the hell we would get out. That'd give us a good excuse for getting out. I see no terminal date for any part of that in there.
How important is it to us?
It isn't important a damn bit, but all this new...
Well, I guess it's important to us, isn't it,
from a psychological standpoint.
I mean, yes, and from the standpoint that we are party to a treaty, and if we don't pay attention to this treaty, well, I don't guess they think we pay attention to any of them.
Yeah, but we're the only one paying any attention to it.
Yeah, I think that's right.
You see, the other people just as much by that treaty.
That's right, but just because somebody else...
I think there's some 12 or 14 other countries.
That's right. There are 14 of them, but...
I don't know much about the foreign policy, but it seemed to me there were several of them that were...
Yeah, they're 14.
...were parties to it, and other than the question of our word and saving face, that's the reason I said that I don't think that anybody would expect us to stay in there. There's some old freebooter down in there that I've forgotten his name. I haven't heard about him lately, but he's still there. Sort of a hellraiser, and he don't know exactly what he wants, I think. But he's the most dangerous thing to the present regime. I think if he were to take over, he'd ask us to get out. And of course, we did. Under our theory of standing by self-determination of people, I don't see how we can say we're not going to go. Charge the government. The thing is, it's going to be a headache to anybody that tries to fool with it. Now, you've got all the brains in the country, Mr. President. You better get hold of them. I don't know what to do about this. I saw it all coming on, but that don't do any good now. There's water over the dam, under the bridge, and we're there.
Well,
you've got over there, McNamara. He was up here testified yesterday for the committee. I didn't want to have him up here, but Howard Cannon, some of them want to have him. So I set up here in 8:30 for what starts appropriation hearings. He's got, he's been kicked around on his old way. I'm not sure he's as objective as he ought to be in surveying the conditions out there. He feels like it's sort of present up to him personally to see that the thing goes through, and he's a can-do fella, but I'm not too sure he understands the history and background of those people out there as fully as he should. But even from his picture, the damn thing ain't getting any better, and it's getting worse, and we're putting more and more in there, and they're taking more and more away from the people we're trying to help that we give them. It's, I don't know, so you better get some brains from somewhere to apply to this thing, and I don't know what to do with it.
Well, I spend all my days with Rusk and McNamara and Bundy and Harriman and the Vance and all those folks that are dealing with it, and I would say that it pretty well adds up to them now that we've got to show some power and some force, and that they do not to believe, they're kind of like MacArthur in Korea, they don't believe that the Chinese communists will come into this thing, but they don't know, and nobody can really be sure, but their feeling is that they won't, and in any event, that we haven't got much choice, that we are treaty-bound, that we're there, that this will be a domino that will kick off a whole list of others, and that we just got to prepare for the worst. Now, I have avoided that for a few days. I don't think the American people are for it. I don't agree with Morse and all he says, but
he's forcing the sentiment of a hell of a lot.
I'm afraid that's right. I don't think the people of the country know much about Vietnam, and I think they care a hell of a lot less.
I know, but you go to send a whole lot of our boys out there.
Yeah, that's right. That's exactly right. That's what I'm talking about. You get a few. We had 35 killed, and we got enough hell over 35 this year. So
that many more than that have been killed in Atlanta, Georgia, been killed this year in automobile accidents.
Okay? That's right, and 83 went down in one crash on a 707, but one day, but that didn't make any difference there.
That's the hazard our folks understand. They don't understand this over there now.
The Republicans are going to make a political issue out of it, every one of them, even Dirksen.
It's the only issue they got.
I talked to Dirksen the other day, Friday, and he suggested I have three of armed services and three from appropriations and three foreign, all of them foreign relations down. And I told him, all right, so I invited him. Yesterday before they came, he gave out a big statement that we had to get us a program and go after them. And Hickenlooper said that they just had to stand and show our force and put our men in there and let come what may come, and nobody disagreed with him. Now, Mansfield, he just wants to pull up and get out. Morris wants to get out, and Greening wants to get out, and that's about where it stops. I don't know.
There's others here that want to get out. They haven't said much about it, but Frank Church has told me two or three times that he didn't want to make a speech on it, but he just wished to God we could get out of there. I don't know whether he's told you that or not.
No, I haven't talked to him.
But I just use that as an illustration because he's mentioned it to me more than once. And,
who are the best people we have that you know of to talk to about this thing? I don't want to do anything on the basis of just the information I got now.
I don't know who, Mr. President.
I've talked to Eisenhower a little bit.
I think that the people that you have named have all formed a hard opinion on it. I think it could get
Rusk
to make a survey.
Rusk has tried to pull back. He's tried to hold back on everything. But he's about come to the conclusion now that Laos is crumbling and Vietnam is wobbling.
Laos. Hell, it ain't worth a damn. They've been talking about all these battles down there, and I tried to get the best information I could from CIA and from the Defense both on all this fierce fighting on the Plain of Jaws and all, and the highest estimate is to the casualties is 150. That lightly ocean thing is absolutely impossible. It's a whole lot worse than Vietnam. There are some of these beating the Mies after they beat them over the head. It'll go in there and fight. But Laos is an impossible situation. That's just a rattle. I don't know if before I took any drastic action, I think I'd get somebody about like old Omar Bradley. And one or two, perhaps, senior people who had some government experience, not necessarily military. If he wasn't scared to death of McNamara, this fella Adams, who's the head of strike, would be a top flight man to send out there with him. Let them go out there and fool around for a few days and smell the air and get the atmosphere and come back in and tell you what they think. Because they are new in it. They would not have a great many preconceived ideas in approaching it.
Now, one of our big problems there, Dick, the biggest between us, and I don't want this to repeat to anybody, is Lodge.
I know it.
He ain't worth a damn. He can't work with anybody.
Well, course,
He won't let anybody else work. We get the best USIA man to put on all the radios and try to get him to be loyal to the government and he calls in USIA and said, I handle the newspapers, magazines, and radio myself, so to hell with you. So that knocks that guy out. Then we send out the best CIA man we got, and he said, I handle the intelligence, to hell with you. Then he wants a new deputy chief of mission. We get him to give us some names, and we pick one of those, the best one we got, send him out to run the damn war, and he gets where he won't speak to the deputy chief of mission. And we got General Harkins out there, and we thought he's a pretty good man. He gets where he can't work with him, so we send Westmoreland out. And it's just a hell of a mess, and you can't do anything with Lodge, and that's where McNamara is so frustrated. He goes out, and they get agreements, and he issues orders, and he sends stuff in there, and then Lodge takes charge of it himself, and he's not a take-charge man, and it just gets stacked up there.
He never has followed anything through to a conclusion since I've known him, and I've known him for 20-odd years. He never has. I went out with him around the world in 43, the only committee went out during the war. We went everywhere, and Lodge was on there. He's a bright fella, intelligent fella, but he's just not a man that persists. And he thinks he's dealing with barbarian tribes out there, that he's the emperor, and he's going to tell them what to do. There ain't a doubt in my mind that what he had old Deem killed out there himself.
That was a tragic mistake, and it's awful, and we've lost everything.
We want to get somebody with more plant to Lodge to do exactly what he said right quick. And he's living up on cloud nine. It's a bad mistake. I don't know. I think probably the best thing you could do would be to ask Lodge if he don't think he about time he's coming home.
Well, he'd be back home campaigning against us on this issue every day.
Thank God Almighty, he's going to come back anyhow when time comes. I'd give him a reason for doing it. He's going to come back. If you bring him back now, everybody will say, well, hell, he's mad because Johnson removed him out there. MacArthur couldn't hurt Truman because everybody would have said, well, hell, he's just mad because he got removed. And the old million sympathized with him in it. And you needn't worry, Lodge will be in here. In my judgment, he'll be on that ticket in some way. I don't think they'll nominate him for president, but they may put him on there for vice president. Or whether they do or don't, he'll be back here campaigning for that campaign drover. I don't know. I'd better take that back. This thing is so hopeless for the Republicans. I just doubt that. He certainly got enough political sense to know that and not get his head chopped off in a perfectly foolish show.
Has Clay got any judgment on a thing like this? His experience?
Yes, he has. Yeah, he has, but though he's inclined to...
He's out of the area of the world, though, mostly, isn't he?
I think Clay has... He knows... I'd take his judgment on most anything if he'd separate himself from his predilections, and he don't have any out in that part of the world. He's a... And I think people generally have got a good deal of respect for Clay's judgment, too. And there's a great deal of affection and respect for old man Bradley. He's not in his dotage yet by a hell of a lot. I got him up here the other day getting some advice from him on some matters, and I found him very alert. He's so humble, I don't know. He'd just be a doormat for Lodge out there. But he's an intelligent man. Now, Clay wouldn't. Clay will he'd stand up to anybody if he feels like he'd got any support from higher places. I just don't know. It's a tragic situation. It's just one of those places where you can't win. Anything you do is wrong.
Well, think about it. Call me.
All right, sir. I thought about it. I have worried about it. And I have prayed about it.
I don't believe we can do anything.
Religiously, I have, because it's something that frightens me, because it's my country involved over there. And if we get into there on any considerable scale, there's no doubt in my mind but the Chinese will be in there, and there we'd be fighting a dang conventional war against our secondary, potential threat. And it'd be a Korea on a much bigger scale, and a worse scale, because the peculiar physical configuration of Korea made extensive guerrilla fighting impossible. But that's not true over in there. If you go from Laos and Cambodia and Vietnam and bring North Vietnam into it too, it's the damnedest mess on earth. A bunch of poor they lost 250,000 men and spent a couple billion of their money and $2 billion of ours down there. And just got the hell whipped out of them, and they had the best troops they had, including practically a division of crack German troopers who were starving and enlisted in the Foreign Legion and went down there.
You don't have any doubt, but what if we go in there and get them up against the wall, the Chinese communists are going to come in?
There's no doubt about
that. That's my judgment, and my people don't think so.
There's no doubt in my mind about it. You'll find Chinese volunteers in there as soon as you get, very shortly after we have active combat units engaged.
Now, Mike writes me a memo, and all he says is that we continue to support the Vietnamese, and that's number one. An end to the reflex of peak and face saving at every essay of De Gaulle's. Well, we've not peaked. We just asked De Gaulle to give us a blueprint, and he don't have it. He just says neutralization, but ain't nobody wants to agree to neutralization. And we ask him who will agree. They'll go with old Ben Milam. We're ready, but he just says, well, we have to continue to maintain our strength and get in a position. But he's got no blueprint. Three, a realistic facing the fact that we're in this situation without reliable military allies. Well, I know that. Four, an exploration of the possibility of the United Nations or some other arrangement. Well, this is Mike Mansfield, and they won't do a damn thing, even on the Cambodia border. We can't get a majority vote in the Security Council. A willingness to entertain any reasonable proposals for international conferences. Well, we are ready to confer with anybody any time, but the conferences ain't going to do a damn bit of good. They ain't going to take back and give us territory and behave. We tell them every week. We tell Khrushchev. We send China and Hanoi and all of them word that we'll get out of there and stay out of there if they'll just quit raiding their neighbors. And they just say, screw you.
That's right.
So the conferences won't do it. Now, the whole question, as I see it, is it more dangerous for us to let things go as they're going now, deteriorating every day?
I don't think we can let it go, Mr. President, indefinitely.
Like then it would be for us to move in.
We either got to move in or move out.
That's about what it is.
Future. You can make a tremendous case for moving out.
Nixon.
A good one for moving in, but
Nixon, Rockefeller
would be more consistent with the attitude of American people and their general reactions to go in. They could understand that, but getting out, even after we go in and get bogged down in there with the war with China, would be it's going to be a hell of a mess. It'd be worse than we are now. To some extent, that's what makes it so difficult. And don't forget that old Ben Milam, the only man, got killed. They said, who'd go with old Ben? He's a great hero, but he got killed.
That's right.
And the old man was killed. And if they start off with Ben Milam, which they ain't going to do to any inside degree, they'll get out and Ben be killed. It's just a hell of a come-on. I don't know. I don't know how much Russia... they won't cause us all the trouble they can, but... there's any truth in the theory that they are really at odds with China. And really is a cleavage there.
They are, but they'd go with them as soon as the fight started. They wouldn't forsake that China, that communist philosophy.
I wasn't talking about the fight in there, but what we might get them to take an active part in getting those in getting the thing straightened out. However,
we're doing all we can on that, but she doesn't show any signs of contributing anything.
Well, of course, they'd be foolish to, and from one extent, because we just continue to pour the money in there and get nothing back out of it. We don't even get goodwill back out of that. And I just don't know. And I don't know where to go for advice. I just don't know where to go for it. McNamara is the smartest fellow any of us know. But he's got so damn, he is opinionated as hell, and he's made up his mind on this, and I don't think it. Any amount of claims.
Well, now I'll tell you what he's done, Dick. I think he's a pretty flexible fella. He's gone out there and he's got Kahn to agree that we cannot launch a counteroffensive or hit in the north until he gets more stabilized and better set in the south. And he thought he's buying us time and we could get by till November. But these politicians got to raise in hell, and Scripps Howard writing these stories. All the senators, Nixon and Rockefeller and Goldwater, all saying, let's move, let's go in the north.
That's a devastating piece that Lucas had on the last page, just a little old paper.
That's right.
That paper don't cover much of the country, but if that got out everywhere, it'd raise a lot of hell.
That's right, and they can always get an isolated example of bad things. McNamara says that that's not generally true, that they've had too many damn people being killed every day. And they're flying the sorties, and they're getting some results, and they're killing thousands of their people, but we're losing more. I mean, losing ground. And he was hoping that we could avoid moving into the north and thereby provoking the Chinese.
Well, ain't any way
for a few months.
No, you know what did I do? We've tried that, and from infiltration and guerrilla war standpoint, with disastrous results.
Lodge, Nixon, Rockefeller, Goldwater all say move. Eisenhower.
Well, they and bombing all the old men and women and children.
No,
infuriate everybody.
No, they say pick out an oil plant or pick out a refinery or something like that. Take selected targets. Watch these trails. They're coming down. And try to bomb them out of them when they're coming in.
You can't. That's just impossible.
McNamara said yesterday that they in Korea that they LeMay and all of them was going to stop all those tanks. That night he came through and they turned all the Air Force loose on and they got one. 89 come on through.
We tried it in Korea. We even sent and got out a lot of old B-29s to increase the bomb load and sent over there and just dropped millions and millions of pounds of bombs day and night. And in the morning, we'd knock out the road at night, and in the morning, the damn people would be back traveling over it. That's true on that railroad over there. On the North Coast, we've used the Navy and these 14-inch rifles and knocked the whole mountain down on it, shelled it, and knocked all these whole mountain down and covered up railroad tracks. Everybody said, oh, God, we've got them now. And the next morning, their trains are running like the devil right over that track. And we shot up $7 million worth of shells, to thinking we'd close it. We didn't do. We never could actually interdict all our lines of communications in Korea, though we had absolute control of the seas and the air, and we never did stop them. And you ain't gonna stop these people either.
Well, it impeached President, though, that'd run out, wouldn't it?
I don't believe
outside of Morse, everybody I talked to says you got to go in, including Hickenlooper, including all the Republicans. None of them disagreed with him yesterday when he made the statement that we had to stand. And I don't know how in the hell you're going to get out unless they tell you to get out.
If we had a man running the government over that door, get out, we could sure have.
Oh, yeah, that's right, but you can't do that.
And I don't know if we get somebody hip. I can't remember that fella's name. It's some sort of a maverick fella that's got a big following down in there below Saigon, and our people all hate him because he's always against the government. And he's not fighting them and all, but he's a very powerful man in Vietnam. And now everybody takes over the government, gives him his excuse for their repressions and suppressions. And if he were to get it and say, now you damn Yankees, get out of here, I'm running this government now.
Wouldn't that pretty well fix us in the eyes of the world, though? Wouldn't it make it look mighty bad?
Well, I don't know. We don't look too good right now. And of course, you look pretty good, I guess, going in there with all the troops and sending them all in there. But I'll tell you, it'll be the most expensive venture this country ever went into.
I've got a little old sergeant over that works for me over at the house. And he's got 6 children. And I just put him up as the United States Army and Air Force and Navy every time I think about making this decision and think about sending that father those 6 kids in there. And what the hell are we going to get out of his doing it? And it just makes the chills run up my back.
It does me. I just can't see it.
I haven't got the nerve to do it, and I don't see any other way out of it.
You don't have much sense to do it. It's one of these things where heads are win tail you lose.
Well, thanks a lot, and I'll talk to you again. I hate to bother you, but I've just...
I wish I could help you. God knows I do, because it's a terrific quandary that we're in over there. We're just in the quicksands up to our very neck, and I just don't know what the hell's the best way to do about it.
I love you, and I'll be calling you.
I'll see you soon.